With a wealth of talented people running for attorney general, it's important to many voters to understand how each of the candidates will respond to the guilty verdicts in the Buffalo Billion trial. For example, will any of them call for the federal government to investigate further? Should the governor call the legislature back for a special session? Today, we're going to put these questions to New York City public advocate Tish James, who is the Democrats' pick to run for this office. James is currently serving in her second term as the public advocate for the city of New York. She is the first woman of color to hold citywide office in New York City, and she's hoping to become the first woman of color to hold the office of attorney general. First woman, too. Tish, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
In a statement you issued yesterday, you said, as attorney general, I will stand up to anyone who abuses public trust or cheats hardworking New Yorkers, and I will use the full powers of the office to hold these bad actors accountable. As the governor's handpicked choice to run for AG, and as someone who has benefited from his help in fundraising, how will you be able to prosecute corruption, or will you be able to prosecute corruption if it finds itself leading to the door of Cuomo's office?
I think all you have to do is just look at my career. And all throughout my career, I've exercised independence. From the time when I was a member of the city council to the time that I was public advocate, where I have initiated lawsuits against this administration, the de Blasio administration, and in the past have sued Governor Cuomo, I have always exercised independence. And I think the Buffalo Billions conviction and trial are a stark reminder about the safeguard that must be in place to ensure that this never happens again. And as the next Attorney General of the state of New York, I look forward to continuing my advocacy to push for reforms in Albany, which includes but is not limited to ethics reform and campaign finance reform and reforms with regards to procurement and reforms with regards to closing loopholes.
So
LLC loophole.
I'm going to get to some of these in a minute. Those are definitely on my agenda of questions. There's another question I have for you first, though. There are critics who say that the public deserves more information, specifically Investigative Post, for example, says the public deserves to know if Cuomo and or his lieutenants have been running this corner of state government as a criminal enterprise. And the only way to know is for the U.S. attorney to continue his work. Do you believe the U.S. attorney should continue looking into the Buffalo Billion case?
So I think there's ongoing investigations, and obviously those investigations should continue. And as the attorney general, one of my top priorities will be to use every tool at my disposal to tackle corruption. But that includes the state legislature giving the authority of the attorney general to investigate corruption. As you know, the current law of the state of New York, under executive law, gives that power to the governor. He basically appoints the attorney general to investigate corruption. I think the legislature should change the law and allow the attorney general to investigate without the approval of the governor of the state of New York.
So right now, the governor has Moreland powers.
Correct.
And so you're saying that you hope the legislature gives the AG Moreland powers.
Correct. Direct power to investigate and not be subject to the approval of the governor of the state of New York. I think that is absolutely critically important. There's, you know, the powers of the attorney general are circumscribed and limited to a certain extent. And the Moreland Commission, as you know, only allowed the attorney general to deputize the members. But the commission itself, again, was created by the governor. And it was subject to the approval of the governor, but the members were nothing more than deputized by the attorney general to issue subpoenas and to investigate. And so we need to empower the office of attorney general to do more so that we can directly investigate corruption.
Right. Instead of just waiting for the U.S. attorney to do things like that, which has been a rallying cry in Albany for a long time. I haven't heard any of the other AG candidates talk about that yet.
I think it's important that everyone understand the state of the law right now. And under the executive law, the Moreland Commission, again, is subject to the approval of the governor. And if,
right,
in fact, we're going to root out corruption on wherever it is, it's really critically important that the hands of the attorney general not be hampered.
So a specific question then on that. Testimony at the trial stated that Todd Howe was the eyes and ears of the governor's office at SUNY Poly. So would you be willing to use that power, if you had it, to find out from Todd Howe if he reported back to the governor about bid rigging?
Yeah, if we had the power. And currently, as you know, the attorney general's office does not have the power. And most of the cases, the criminal prosecution cases, have been referrals from other agencies, state agencies, and from the controller's office. And again, as I indicated earlier, the Office of Attorney General should have the independent power to investigate and to follow up on corruption wherever it leads. And that is what I will do, as I have done in the Office of Public Advocate, where we have initiated a number of cases against this administration on our own and against the governor of the state of New York. And as you know, as a member of the city council, I, working with Juan Gonzalez of the Daily News, uncovered the biggest scandal under the Bloomberg administration, known as City Time. And we will continue to do just that. I think it's important that everyone understand, just simply by my nature and who I am, I have been always exercised independence and will continue to do that.
Are you frustrated
and without favor,
Tish? Are you frustrated, Tish James, about the connection that people are making between you and Cuomo because of the money raising and because it seemed like he tapped you to be, the person to run for this position?
Well, first of all, let me disabuse you of this notion that he tapped me to run for this office. That's nothing further than the truth. And so I dismiss that and I reject that. The point is that I made this decision to run for the Office of Attorney General and prior.
I stand corrected. He backed you. He didn't tap you. Right.
Exactly. Thank you. He is supporting me. Yes. But he did not tap me. I decided to run for the Office of Attorney General because it's something that I had considered long before recent events. And it's something that individuals had urged me to consider because I have basically turned the Office of Public Advocate into a mini attorney general's office. And in fact, have been criticized for that fact that it's been used. The Office of Public Advocate has been used as a legal services and or attorney general. And I, despite the criticism, I applaud that because I believe that the Office of Public Advocate is constrained and that we push the boundaries on the Office of Public Advocate, initiating, as I mentioned before, a wide range of cases against the de Blasio administration and the governor of the state of New York.
So it does sound like you are frustrated then that people are, because independence is so important in this particular race.
Independence is so absolutely critical to the Office of Attorney General. But I think, I don't know if frustrated is the right term. I think what I want to dispel people of this notion that somehow I've been dependent upon others for all that I have done throughout my public career. And let me just say that if anyone knows Letitia James, all you have to do is look at her record and her record speak. My record speaks for itself. And let me also say that prior to the recent incident involving the previous attorney general, my independence was never questioned. So it's really, I think it's comical that individuals are now questioning my independence at this point in time. Just look at my record.
All right.
From the time that I was a public defender to the time that I was a city council member to the time that I've been a public advocate of the city of New York, a former assistant attorney general, my independence has never been questioned. And I've never been bought, and I've never been bossed, and I stand in the spirit of Shirley Chisholm.
All right. So let's move on to the systemic circumstances that allowed this kind of corruption of the Buffalo Billion to take place, because it still exists. And you were talking about what you would do to change that, including more transparency, more accountability, and giving perhaps the controller back some of his oversight power. Would you lend your voice to these these reforms?
I believe in transparency and I believe in accountability. And I believe that every elected official, be it the controller, the attorney general, the state legislature, we've got a duty and a responsibility to root out corruption. And it's also critically important that we have a responsibility to engage in oversight. and then you have checks and balances. That's absolutely critical important to the role of government. It's also important that everyone understand that the Office of Attorney General, 70% of what they do is representing the state of New York. We have a state's attorney. 20% is affirmative litigation, and 10% is advocacy. The vast majority of what the wonderful assistant attorney generals do each and every day is defend the state of New York. And most of that doesn't get a lot of publicity and doesn't get the headlines. That's the role of the attorney general.
Well, in that role, you announced this week that if elected, you would investigate the National Rifle Association's nonprofit status in New York. Why do you think that this would curb gun violence?
Oh, well, as someone who has been talking about gun violence way before most individuals have been talking about gun violence, because gun violence is, unfortunately, a common occurrence, particularly in urban centers all throughout the state of New York and all throughout this country. And so there was a time when I was attending a funeral of men of color on an average once a week. Now it's down to at least once every 2 months. The reality is that I've been experiencing this, and there's nothing more tragic than holding a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandparent in your arms. I've cried over too many caskets. And so it's time that we take on the NRA and that we use the tools of the Office of Attorney General and the law as a sword against the NRA, and particularly focus on their not-for-profit status and the fact that they are located, they have offices here in the state of New York. It is absolutely critically important that we take down this criminal enterprise and that we remove products of death off of the streets of urban centers and off of the streets of New York State.
I just want to
really
make sure that I'm hearing you correctly, that you have just called the NRA a criminal enterprise.
Yeah, the NRA is a criminal enterprise. And the bottom line is that what they do is that they engage in want to deal with the school shootings by arming teachers in our public schools. And that's unacceptable. What we should do is continue to push for reforms on the federal level and on a state level. And we should be in a position where we can track illegal guns which are on the streets of the city of New York and on the streets of the state of New York. It's really critically important. And for those who believe that somehow I'm taking away their guns, I support the Second Amendment.
But what about the First Amendment?
And the First Amendment. Individuals, you know, I support the First Amendment as well, which is why I'm allowed to say that the NRA is a criminal enterprise.
Well, they would say that they're just expressing their right to free speech.
And they can say that, and that's their First Amendment right, and I can say that they're a criminal enterprise. And what I can also say is that guns should not get into the hands of individuals who are mentally ill. We should close the loopholes on all of these shows. We should also make sure that we regulate and register and make sure that that we could track guns, particularly guns that are traveling along I-95. And we should hold those states that are responsible for these illegal guns, which are products of death and causing so much mayhem here in the state of New York. You know, we've got some of the greatest laws on the books. I applaud the governor for passing the SAFE Act. But at the same time, we still need to make sure that we hold states accountable that are responsible for these illegal guns, that we continue to close some of the loopholes that still exist, that we pass reform on the federal level, responsible gun laws on the federal level, and that we do more and that we empower federal agencies and state agencies to track these guns and to keep them off of our streets.
Where can
people safe?
Where can people learn more about you?
So Letitia James is spelled L-E-T-I-T-I-A James. They can go to the website of the Office of New York City Public Advocate. There is also a campaign site. All they have to do is Google my name and all of these sites will show up.
We have been speaking with Letitia James, and I want to thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.